as we think, the effect on us and animals. Kind of a quantum physics sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. Anyway, it just kind of struck me this was something that we needed to talk about. And we do get feedback from people on this subject when they're talking to us about the health issues with their animals. And it's interesting how often that whatever their own health issues are will parallel what's going on in their animals or vice versa. That's why we decided to talk about this. We're going to start out with one quote. It is straight out of scripture. Proverbs 23:7 says, quote, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the King James Version. We're going to talk a little bit about that heart math, and the interesting science is just now catching up to where scripture has been all along.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're saying that they're proving the heart-mind connection. Well, that's always been there, but they've been able to actually map it and prove it. And this is fascinating information, but even, we'll talk a little bit, even about 100 years ago, some of the things that they were calling it, and they just retitled it because they don't want to admit that they were wrong and that it was just theory. So they renamed it.
Of course.
It's kind of funny to me what science does. But anyway, I got this from Wikipedia, and it was a book entitled As a Man Thinketh, and it was a literary essay by James Allen that was published in 1902. And of course, he took the title straight out of scripture. And yet this man was thinking in ether, or aka now modern renamed as quantum physics or quantum science. There's a variety of different quantum, but it's all quantum thinking. Book opens with this statement, and I wanted to share it with you guys. And, you know, again, just keep in mind, while I don't always agree with some of this stuff, it's important to share it in context so that you guys can make your own informed decision about all of this. The book opens with this statement, mind is the master power that molds and makes. It's a rhyme, okay? And man is mind in evermore he takes. The tool of thought in shaping what he wills brings forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. He thinks in secret, and it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass. I thought it was fascinating that this man wrote this back in 1902, and they're now proving that, yes, environment does mold us, and we're talking about our personal environment. What happens in our own lives is a reflection of what's going on inside of us, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And while we can't think about what's going on with us as a child, I mean, we're kind of at the mercy of our parents or whoever's raising us until we become of age, and then we have to decide to be responsible and change that destiny, or, you know, be bitter. It's that old saying, be bitter or be better.
Right.
Many of us have gone, I mean, I think most of us have gone both ways. You know, we've been bitter at times and we've been better at times, but if we continue to progress forward, and again, our animals and are part of our environment. And they are so tuned in to everything about us. I mean, I've had first Shadrach and then Meshach, my Neo and then my Great Dane, and they were doing similar things. And I don't go off on that weird stuff that says it's because, you know, Shadrach was visiting me through Meshach. I don't buy that. Mm. And so what it was that they were so tuned into us and how my husband and I communicate, how we move, our body language, how we interact, they picked up on it and they just flowed with it.
Right.
You know, they get into your groove, in other words, but they're also going to get into the groove of how you're acting and how your thoughts are acting out in your life. You're going to act out your thoughts in your life, and your animals will pick up on that. And that's why often we will see an animal have a similar disease to their humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person might have diabetes and their dog or cat does. Now, granted, there are some issues that will contribute to that. If you're not feeding a species-appropriate diet and following the laws of health for yourself or your animals, there's going to be similar issues that crop up, because that's the repercussions of those are the consequences we pay for not following those laws. Keep in mind that the laws of health mandated in nature by God are not theories.
No.
They're laws. And in science, laws can't be broken or bent. They just are. There's the law of gravity.
Exactly.
You could try and bend it, but you're going to get hurt. You know?
Yeah.
So those laws are not bendable, in other words. Our animals are so tuned in, and the way they communicate in their own societies is greatly through body language. They are going to pick up on those things, and they may even take on some of our own stuff, as weird as that might sound. Because thoughts, they are proving now through science, which is also interesting that scripture had already said this, thoughts become manifest in the physical, because thoughts and a lot of other things are all just energy. And they're proving that there's kind of, it gets really out there, but you guys can do some of your own research. So let me share from this man's book a few quotes from this book, As a Man Thinketh, by James Allen. Here's a quote. Men do not attract what they want, but what they are.
Mm.
okay, heavy, okay? Mm-hmm. And again, that's going to happen in our lives with our animals as well. And I think we talked with Dr. Wagner about that once,
yes,
about the whole rescue thing, you know, that we're attracting,
yes,
a lot of those issues into our life.
Mm-hmm.
A man is literally, and again, let's just put woman in there too, okay? But, you know, think about the time. They always wrote from a man.
Meaning mankind,
but,
yeah.
Right, mankind. You could think mankind. A man is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all his thoughts. The next one is cherish your visions, cherish your ideals, cherish the music that stirs in your heart, the beauty that forms in your mind, the loveliness that drapes your purest thoughts, for out of them will grow all delightful conditions, all heavenly environment. Of these, if you but remain true to them, your world will at last be built. Remember, our thoughts, negative or positive, are going to manifest.
There's another scripture that talks about a merry heart doing good like a medicine.
Yes. That's exactly right. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's awesome. And in fact, they mistranslated the word medicine as actually the word was cure. A merry,
right,
heart doeth good like a,
like
cure,
a cure
was the original meaning, and they translated it wrong because of,
right,
the influence of medicine in even way back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one, it says, the soul attracts that which it secretly harbors, that which it loves, and also that which it fears.
Right.
It reaches the height of its cherished aspirations. It falls to the level of its unchastened desires, and circumstances are the means by which the soul receives its own.
Mm.
Really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves, therefore remain bound.
That's very profound.
Very profound. This man was deep. I want this book.
Mm-hmm.
Every action and feeling is preceded by a thought. So again, you're stepping into those thoughts and making them happen. And I have a really hard thing, something that happened. It's really hard to share, and I've never shared this publicly, but I had a cousin who was murdered back in 1999, right in between Christmas and Thanksgiving. And the thing that preceded before that happening to her was how she kept saying she kept feeling predators around her, predators following her, predators wanting to harm her. She kept talking about that. I don't know all the circumstances. It is what happened, and they've never found who did this or even why. So think about that. Scripture does tell us, how about the other one? Whatever, think on whatever is pure, whatever is,
right,
holy, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely. Again, that comes out into our world. It sounds bizarre,
yes,
but science has actually proved that. And I'm going to share some of that after we get through these quotes from this book, As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. He says, circumstance does not make the man, it reveals him to himself. Right thinking begins with the words we say to ourselves. And he says, you cannot travel within and stand still without.
Mm.
As the next one is, as the physically weak man can make himself strong by careful and patient training, so the man of weak thoughts can make them strong by exercising himself in right thinking. And last, every man is where he is by the law of his being. Notice he said law.
Mm-hmm.
The thoughts of which he has built into his character have brought him there. And in the arrangement of his life, there is no element of chance, but all is the result of a law which cannot err. As a man thinketh, so is he. And again, they're talking about cause and effect as well. And those things have been proven. Well, science is finally getting on board with this. They were at one time and then were squashed in their thinking and to only focus on the physical and not anything to do with the spiritual or the mind or the emotions. And so that whole aspect was left out of science for a long time, and now science is kind of struggling to get caught back up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to share from the book Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple by Dr. David Stewart, who is a chemist and also a doctor of natural medicine and aromatherapist. And he calls this book God's Love Manifests in Molecules. And he gets technical in a lot of places, and in other places he's just talking about this whole quantum physics thinking. And you might wonder, how does this affect our animals? I'm going to keep telling you, because the reason why I shared all those quotes is because that is definitely going to come into being. And when you're thinking all these, when your life is just a constant challenge, struggle, anger, frustrated all the time, your animals are going to manifest with that physically because they're being affected by stress, helping you to unstress and find,
mm-hmm,
ways to relieve stress so that your animals will be better for it.
There
your animals
go.
Will be healthier. This is another area that we've even talked about at times, about how our stress is going to definitely stress them.
Right.
When we're stressed out, they're stressed out. I mean, we're thinking that way, and there's a way to always get back and get centered again. And I know I've been doing this lately, and I'm proof perfect, and Jeannie can attest to it, that it works. Mine's always a vertical alignment. Mine's always going back in my weakness and in my own failure to allow God to have his power through me and to change my thoughts, you know, to transform my mind, be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So Dr. Stewart says, and on page, if you guys have the book, you can look here on page 701, he talks about the speed of thought. And again, they're proving that thought is actual a physical thing. I'll just share a little bit briefly from here. The world of thought is within these subtle spheres of higher vibrations, again, energy. And he says it has been shown by scientific experiments that thoughts not only travel through space from person to person and from persons to animals or things, but they do so at velocities exceeding the speed of light. In some experiments, thoughts have even appeared to travel instantaneously, i.e. at infinite speed. Hence, if a person on a distant planet, say 100,000 light years away, were to send a thought to an earthling, it would be received instantaneously, whereas a beam of physical light from that same planet would take 100,000 years to get here. Furthermore, the thought would arrive undiminished in force and clarity, while the intensity of the light beam reaching Earth would be diminished to virtual undetectability by the inverse square of that great distance. So he's getting into the whole law of thermodynamics here, he says, because that's what would disperse the light and so forth. He goes on to say that, again, that's why our thinking is such a powerful, powerful thing.
Right.
He says, thus the higher and higher levels of vibrational frequencies, and this is why he has this in a book on essential oils, because essential oils vibrate at a frequency, the earth vibrates at a frequency, our bodies vibrate at frequencies, mm-hmm. animals' bodies vibrate at frequencies, the entire planet, plant life, everything vibrates at a frequency. And the lower the frequency in human beings, say if it starts to go lower than, I think it's 52 megahertz, then you're really getting sick. Death is right around 25 megahertz. Then, you know, death is imminent. We're wanting to vibrate at 68 to 72 megahertz to be healthy. Same in animals. So thus, the higher and higher levels of vibrational frequencies that underlie our physical existence get closer and closer to transcending all of time and space. And he says, the highest level is God himself, who can communicate simultaneously with every being and particle of his creation throughout the whole universe.
Right.
I thought that was really interesting. And then I'm going to flip over to another page of his on 720 on into 722, and he's talking about consciousness in matter. Remember, scientists for a long time thought that there was nothing, you know, that there was no consciousness there in any form things, and that matter wasn't always moving around. Kind of funny. They kind of got stuck in that real allopathic reductionistic thinking. He said, hundreds of scientists and thousands of experiments over the past century have demonstrated that material matter responds to our thoughts. Okay, your animals are material matter, by the way.
There you go.
Our motives. Okay, so I'm going to go back and say, demonstrated that material matter responds to our thoughts, our motives, and or our prayers. Yet, to read the textbooks of science used in our classrooms, you would never know that this was true. The reason such a vast body of data has not been incorporated into traditional scientific texts is because of the fundamental assumptions of scientific materialism. And he talks about this in depth at the beginning of the chapter, so you'll have to read the book. He says, as stated at the beginning of the chapter, and he says, a priori, that there is no God and that humans and their thoughts do not interact with physical substance. He goes, until this prejudicial stance of the majority of scientists has been repealed, you won't find much in standard text on mind over matter, nor will you find much about the consciousness within matter that makes communication between humans and the elements possible. Nevertheless, such consciousness does exist. He goes, the non-belief of scientists does not make it non-existent. I think I've always saying that. Just because someone believes it not to be true does not negate the truth. If it's truth, it's truth, whether you believe it or not. The earth is round and revolves around the sun, whether humans believe it or not. And there was a time when most people did not believe these things. Disbelief in the truth does not negate it. Amen. So I thought that was interesting to share when we're talking about thoughts and matter. So now we go to science. And on a website called wakeup-world.com, they say scientists have proved that DNA can be reprogrammed by words and frequencies. Okay, interesting that all of this is vibrational. And again, your animals are, like I say, they're like, you know, they're zoned in on you.
Right.
They know exactly what's going on in your life. And, you know, like your bird, Jeannie, when you're stressed out, Nikki is always saying, Jeannie's African gray, he will say, are you happy? And he wants to know if Jeannie's happy, and if she's not happy, she better get happy.
He'll keep bugging me until I answer
him. And you have to convince him you're happy by your tone of voice. And in the process of doing that, he actually helps you to change from being stressed out or unhappy to, you have to answer him how, Jeannie? Say it. And now he says, I'm happy too.
Yep.
That's a new thing that he started doing and saying, I'm happy too.
Mm-hmm.
He can express it, and he will not let Jeannie, if she doesn't answer it convincingly with her attitude and the whole thing, he won't stop asking her till she does.
Right.
And so they're very tuned in. And just so happens that African greys can speak in our language.
Right.
And it's very cool. So here's a little bit from this article from Wake Up World. It says, quote, in addition, there is, and I'm just carrying on from a sentence that they left there, and you can read it in its entirety. In addition, there is evidence for a whole new type of medicine in which DNA can be influenced and reprogrammed by words and frequencies without cutting out and replacing single genes.
Mm.
Only 10% of our DNA is being used for building proteins.
Right.
It is this subset of DNA that is of interest to Western researchers and is being examined and categorized. The other 90% are considered, quote-unquote, junk DNA.
Yeah.
Well, the Russian researchers, however, convinced that nature was not dumb, joined linguists and geneticists in a venture to explore those 90% of quote-unquote junk DNA. Their results, findings, and conclusions are simply revolutionary. According to them, our DNA is not only responsible for the construction of our body, but also serves as data storage in communication. The Russian linguists found that the genetic code, especially in the apparently useless 90%, follows the same rules as all our human languages. To this end, they compare the rules of syntax, the way in which words are put together to form phrases and sentences, semantics, the study of the meaning of language and forms, and the basic rules of grammar. How interesting that they chose that.
Mm-hmm.
Really a passion of mine. But they found that the alkalines of our DNA follow a regular grammar and do have set rules just like our languages. So human languages did not appear coincidentally, but are a reflection of our inherent DNA. What they're saying is that they have proven through this cooperative with these geneticists and linguists that our thoughts and what we speak are actually going to change our very DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're speaking in frustration and anger and stress and anxiety and blah, 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 it's going to definitely affect your health and the outcome of how you're living your life.
Right.
You're going to speak that negativity into existence. You're going to speak it into existence for your animals. And it sounds far out, but not to me, because I read scripture.
It
doesn't sound far out to me at all.
Right.
They go on to say down here, further on into the article, one can simply use words and sentences of human language to change things. This, too, was experimentally proven. Living DNA substance in living tissue, not in vitro, will always react to language-modulated laser rays and even to radio waves if the proper frequencies are being used. Now, think about this. When using essential oils, for example, which is a very positive thing for us and very closely related to how it works in the plant, will work exactly the same way in the body. And that those, how they're vibrating at a frequency, they're repairing damaged DNA, they're changing incorrect things in our body and helping you and your animals to become well. Just by that. And I just know also they've also proven, Dr. Emoto, a Japanese doctor, has proven that praying before over water, the water can look all disrupted, like a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But praying, it changes it. It almost looks like a snowflake after the prayer. The prayer has to be prayed with belief and intention, obviously. He even showed how saying thank you for the water changed it into a whole another design. But if you
the
say
negative
something negative,
words,
but,
right.
Yeah, if you say you make me sick or I hate you or whatever, it totally disrupts the water and throws it into complete disarray.
The molecules
muddies it, murky, everything. Now, if you show love and appreciation, beautiful crystals form. They look very much like snowflakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that he's proven that. Another group of people called Heart Math are also doing the same thing, improving a lot of the heart-mind connection.
Yeah.
And what they say, one of the things that they say is, did you know that negative emotions can create a nervous system chaos, but positive emotions do the opposite? Well, after what I just stated to you guys here before, that shouldn't surprise you. And here's what they say about heart math. Heart math research is based on the premise that the heart and the brain communicate extensively with each other and that emotions play a vital role in the physical well-being of each individual. Physiologically, the heart displays much of what the person is feeling, and even our emotions are reflected in our heart rhythm patterns.
They're saying that even negative emotions can actually cause or worsen heart disease, cause you to have a heart attack or, you know, make the disease worsen.
Absolutely. So you guys think about this, and knowing how in tune our animals are to us and how you're going about through your day and through your lives, what if we changed our thoughts and our attitudes to reflect that? I remember Jeannie Nani had taught us one thing. If we learned anything from her, she taught us that attitude is everything.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing else. The attitude is everything. You check your egos at the door. You know, she used a lot of cliches that way, but when you think about that, and I mean really think about that, it can make a difference. I know that I've been on the phone with Jeannie and have been, you know, frustrated or something, and we're talking, and I can hear Nick go, "Are you happy?" in the background. Or he'll make a funny sound and I just start laughing. Totally changed my whole attitude that quickly. And that changed my day, in fact, many times.
Yeah.
Just hearing him. That bird has an attitude that's all about boys just
having fun.
And he goes through a repertoire. I think as we were talking with Dr. Jordan the other day, he was whistling. It was kind of funny because he was making me laugh when we were on a serious subject. But it was funny to me to hear him do that. He always makes me laugh. So what if we were that kind of people?
Right.
And how would that affect the outcome of our own health, our own lives, the path of our lives, not to mention our animals? Rather than stressing and worrying over every little thing about this going wrong with them, like hypochondriacs,
yeah.
What if we just were thinking about being healthy and happy? And I know if there's days that we're going to have challenges. I'm not saying that there isn't. And I'm not trying to, you know, sound like I'm Mary Poppins or something. But I just thought we could see definitely, what if everybody listening today could go and experiment just for 1 week and see what kind of a difference it would make in your life and that of your animals around you?
Just start smiling.
What about? Yeah.
That makes a huge
difference. In fact, you have to use completely different facial muscles to smile than you do to frown.
Yep.
And I've tried it. Once I was having a bad day, I happened to see a poster on Facebook and it said, try, you know, if you smile. And I said, I'm going to just try it. Jeannie and I were both having a moment and she was going to call me back and we were going to talk. And I thought, I need to do this now so that when she does call back, I'm happy, like Nick says. And it worked. Totally, totally worked because I had to get my whole thinking changed.
Right.
What if we're doing that? Even though our animals are sick, will they turn around? I don't know. I invite you guys to consider changing that and thinking about that.